We're picking up on part nine. This will be part nine of the Wisdom of Solomon. And I'm not going to go back. I'm just going to pick up on this next section here in Proverbs chapter 3. But we previously talked about the requirements, some of the requirements of wisdom. And then if we take serious those requirements to fulfill the requirements of wisdom, you will find wisdom and gain understanding. And this is really important because I'm bringing this up again because this is how Proverbs 3:13 through 15 starts off. But there's a consequence that as we give ourselves to finding wisdom and gaining understanding, that as we do that, that there's going to be some consequences to do that in our lives. When we start going after wisdom, we're going to find, you know, first of all, you're going to be happy. That's what Proverbs 3:13 starts off with. Happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. And that word happy there is the word asher in the Hebrew, and it means happiness. And then as an interjection, which you could kind of put this to be in the beginning of this verse, it could carry the meaning of how happy. Amen. And then Brown Drivers Briggs defines it as happiness and blessedness and blessed are. So Brown Drivers Briggs translates a little bit further and says, blessed are the men or is the man who finds wisdom. Happy is the man who finds wisdom. Amen. And or how happy is the man who finds wisdom. And so we need to recognize that if we are going after wisdom, and guys, I hate to say it this way, but a lot of people are not very happy. You know, I mean, if you ask people whether or not they're happy with their lives, a lot of them will be like, sometimes, you know. But if you want to become a person that's happy in the sense of you're blessed, you're walking in happiness, you know, and you recognize, you know, I'm a happy person, then it comes on the heels of finding wisdom. Amen. And the word find there literally means to attain. It means to find or acquire. Brown Drivers Briggs defines it as to find or attain to. So in other words, it's not just finding something that's wise and then putting it on the shelf, you know, maybe to use later. No, it's taking hold of that wisdom and making it yours and setting your life and setting yourself to walk in that wisdom. Amen. And then he goes on to say, and the man who gains understanding, all right, the man who gains understanding, well, that word gains there means to secure, to furnish, to bring out from Brown Drivers Briggs. But Strong's defines it as to secure, the man who secures himself understanding or who brings out that understanding. Now, I didn't see this before, but I've talked about this and made this kind of a statement a lot over the years to you guys that, you know, a lot of people don't think they're very smart or, you know, they don't know that, you know, well, pastor, you know, you're really smart. You can understand the word, but that's not true, people. You got to look at what it says here. And the man who gains understanding, that word understanding there is actually the word tebuna, which means intelligence. So we can grow. If we give ourselves to going after wisdom, we will grow in intelligence. I mean, it's something that we'll gain. It's something that we'll acquire as we go along. You know, we'll have it for ourselves. We'll secure a greater intelligence in our lives. Amen. And so Brown Drivers Briggs goes on to define that understanding as not just the word intelligence. It says intelligence, but it adds understanding, insight, and the faculty of understanding. Now, this is really important for us. I've talked about this already before in teaching on this on Proverbs here, but the whole thing of the faculty just means the ability, the capability to understand, the ability to understand. You know, you have the skill, you have the tool to understand. You can look at things and understand them. And that's basically what intelligence involves. You know, it's not just already having some kind of understanding. It's the ability to gain understanding, to understand. It's that ability to understand. And so when you look at the word, you know, I mean, when I first started reading my Bible, man, back when I was 16, 17 years old, I'd read my Bible and there was a lot of things that I didn't understand at all. But I just kept going. I kept pushing into it, seeking to understand, seeking to know, seeking to grow in that knowledge, seeking to gain insight and wisdom from God. And as I grew into it, I found myself more able to understand. And it's an awesome thing, because even like tonight when I was going through my message as I was getting ready to teach and I was praying, I hit on this whole thing of gaining understanding, and God reminded me that I've been saying that for years, that if you continue in the Word, if you continue going after God, if you continue, you know, gaining knowledge and understanding and wisdom, if you continue to go after these things, it'll increase your intelligence. It'll cause you to become smarter in your life in a general sense. All right. And this is going to be important here, because when it says here, look at what it says. And the man who gains understanding and for her proceeds are better than the profits of silver. Her proceeds are better than the profits of silver. And when you look at the word proceeds and profits, they're the same word in the Hebrew. It's the word sakar, and it means to profit from trade. Brown Drivers Briggs defines it as to traffic, gain, profit, gain from merchandise. In other words, when you start growing in that understanding, that ability to understand, and that knowledge and that intelligence, as you start growing in your intelligence, it's going to cause you to profit. It's going to cause you to be able to do wise business and have wise dealings. Amen. And sometimes it's not just about making money. It's not just about, you know, being able to make a lot of money. Sometimes it's knowing how to take what you have, put it to work for you in order to increase what you've got, in order to profit in your trading. And you know, I'm going to tell you something. I started off, and you can ask Eva this, man. We first got married. I was 21 years old. I was looking for a job anywheres. And since I was so used to working in a gas station and working, you know, bucking hay and stuff like that over the summers, you know, and then, you know, when I was in college, I did some work as a janitor and as a housekeeper and stuff in the dorms. And then I did some work as a person who would go in and do maintenance inside the dorms and such. And when I would do these things, and they were all basic and very simple, it kind of put me in that place of thinking that that's all I could do for a little bit. But there came a time when God began to deal with me. And as I got more, as my intelligence, my ability to grasp began to grow, we made some decisions. We moved out to the desert, and I ended up getting a job in a trade. And that trade was not an easy trade. It was a hard trade. It was a dangerous trade. And so you had to be really smart in what you were doing. And I was able to grasp. I mean, just being in the Word, just ministering, just, you know, following God and walking with Jesus and going after God with my heart. As I was doing these things and I was getting in the Word, I didn't realize that it was expanding my ability to understand. And so once I got in there, I started understanding how to do things I never thought I could. And I grew in the trade. And, you know, sometimes people can do that. Sometimes people can become, you know, not just apprentices, but they can become journeymen. And they become teachers of others. And they can rise up and go even further. And that's what happened for me. I became a journeyman, and I was able to rise up and go even further. And so it all started there. And then, you know, as time went on, I found out that I just couldn't do the physical stuff anymore, which I loved doing, but I couldn't do it anymore. And God spoke to me one day, and he says, hey, if you can't do that anymore, you know, you've been building computers. Why don't you try and get a job doing something that's more technical? And, you know, I never thought of that, but being technical, I was able to do things with computers that 99.9% of the people in the world don't have a clue as to how to do. And I was learning it. God was expanding. I was capable of understanding. My ability to understand kept growing and progressing. And so as I started doing that, I said, okay. And so I ended up getting a job, and I've been working for this company going on 17 years now. And so as a result, you know, God has blessed me thoroughly, and I've profited from my trade, from my ability to understand. And anybody can do that. I'm not special, guys. You can do the same thing if you're willing to believe that God will increase your ability to understand, your intelligence. That's all intelligence really is. It's the ability to understand. You know, like, how do I solve this problem? Or how do I get from here to there? Or how can I build this, you know, effectively? I mean, these are things that, you know, these are things that are based on that faculty of understanding. And so wisdom depends on that. Wisdom depends on you being able to grow in your ability to understand. It depends on it. So you'll never fully grow in the amount of wisdom you can walk in, because wisdom is applied knowledge. It's applied understanding. Wisdom is knowing how. It's actually one of the fundamental definitions of the word wisdom is skill. It's the ability to do things, to understand things, to make them work, you know, to apply them in life. And especially spiritually, you know, as you guys have been around the Word as long as most of you have, you should never struggle with understanding. It should be something that comes to you relatively quickly. When you hear something, when you read the Word, it should be rather quick for you to pull out of it what God wants to show you from that Word. And not all the time is, you know, when you're reading the Word, sometimes you're just feeding your spirit. But when Scriptures jump out at you and they're important to you, you know, God will make them stand out by the Holy Spirit. It'll cause it to rise up, and you'll know that Scripture is important. Sometimes you underline them in your Bible. That's the reason you underline it, is because it's like, this Scripture is really a good Scripture, and it's really good, and it hits you as a really good Scripture. And that's the whole point, is when it hits you like that, that's because it's God telling you something from that Scripture. And to be able to take that Scripture and understand what He's telling you out of that Scripture, that's the epitome of that faculty to understand that God wants to expand in all of us. He doesn't want any one of us to be left behind, people. He wants us all to excel in these things. Amen? And I'm going to tell you something, man. When the Jews were walking with God, dude, nobody could get beyond them. They were that smart, that shrewd, that sharp. They could see into things much more so than other people could. And so as a result, that's why they profited. They prospered so much, even when they were in foreign lands, and even when they were, you know, when they had been taken captive by other nations, they would excel in those nations. Amen. And people would hate them because they excelled. I mean, you think of David. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You think of these men that rose up in front of Pharaoh and became mighty because they were so wise. And people were jealous of them. They tried to get them destroyed because of that. And God always took care of them. And you're going to see some things about, as you walk in wisdom, there are some guaranteed things that belong to you, that come to you because of that. Amen. And so he goes on to say, you know, for her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. And the word gain there is this word called tabua, and it means income, produce. Brown Drivers Briggs confirms that it's income or revenue. And what's interesting is when it's talking about the gain of wisdom, wisdom produces results in your life. It produces a revenue. It produces, you know, an income, so to speak. It may not always look like money, but it's producing something. And that's what it is. When it says income there, it's talking about produce, what's produced out of the activity of wisdom. Wisdom always is productive. It's always bearing fruit in a good way. Amen. It's always bearing fruit in a good way. It was funny. I was at work today, and I'll share this with you because it was kind of cool and interesting to me. But I'm a project manager, as most of you know. And I was working with this one department that's, you know, they're handling certain kinds of things. It's a support department. And it was really cool because I didn't expect this. I mean, I wasn't meaning for it. But towards the end of the meeting, we were running a little bit over. And then I just, you know, I figured we need to do some follow-up on this, you know, to make sure everybody, you know, comes back to it. And I wanted to not just get a whole bunch of stuff that's all over the place, because there's going to be some design things that we need to get done, and they need to be clear. Otherwise, it's not going to work really well. And it's because I project manage projects that are for the website. And so, you know, I told them at the end, I said, hey, look, you know, guys, you need to consider, we need to come back. I need you to come back to us, you know, because we did a presentation to them, and they got the information they were looking for. And so I told them, I go, here, we're going to give you the deck. They call it a deck because it's a PowerPoint presentation. We're going to give you the deck, and, you know, we want you to mull it over, and maybe in a week or two or something like that, we can get back together, and I'll set the meeting. We'll get back together, and you guys can come back with your thoughts on how you want to see this develop. But in the midst of this, I felt this compelling inside of me to tell them, look, you know, just you need to be really clear. And I just want to add this and just think about it for you guys to think about it. And I was talking to senior director, a couple of directors, senior manager and a manager. And you know, so I just, you know, I told him, I said, look, you know, you want to really think about what you're striving to accomplish so that we can be real clear on where we need to go with this and what we want to accomplish with the changes we make. We don't want to be haphazard about it. And, you know, and if we can use data in some way to figure it out, then we'll do that. But, I just kind of finished what I had to say. And then all of a sudden the senior director says, hey, you know, will you be involved? Will you get involved and help us with that? Let's do a meeting and I'd like you to be like the ringleader of the meeting to help us kind of to guide us so that as we start talking about this, we can, you know, we can really get it coherent and really get it straight, you know, where we can see where we're going in it. And I was like, oh my gosh, you know, I said, sure, I'll do it. I don't have a problem with that at all. And this is something I don't typically do. Typically, I leave them to do, you know, to go through the process and on their own. I have a personal opinion about how I project manage is that it's not my job to dictate how people should be doing things. That's not my job. My job is to implement what I'm given to implement as a project, make sure it gets done. So by the time it gets to me, they should have had it already figured out. And in our case, there's been some changes and stuff in our company. And so we're all kind of like finding our way a little bit. And so they you know, they're looking for the help. And they asked, they said, would you help us with this? And this came from their senior director. And I said, sure, I'll help you. I mean, I don't have a problem with that. And so I did that. I set the meeting for a period down the road. And I laid out some of the criteria within the meeting invite and what they needed to think about. And then when we get together, we're going to use those things to bang out, you know, what we're going to do next and how we're going to get it done, how we're going to redesign this site for them so that it's more effective and functional. And it's an awesome thing because I see these things, you know, because of that ability to understand, that faculty of understanding, I can see these things that need to be considered. And, you know, I'll bring it up, you know, and so it's awesome because they jumped on it. They took advantage of it as a form of help and guidance for them in order to get their part done effectively. And honestly, I had the feeling that I might end up being kind of a referee. So we'll see how it goes. But I just want you to know that God will that ability, that doesn't just, you know, God give it to you and then it just becomes, you can't use it for anything else. Once you gain these abilities, people, they work throughout your life and in your life and around your life in everything that you're doing. And that's God. That's what he wants. And that's why he says her gain is better than fine gold. You know, it's better than the profits of silver, and her gain is more than fine gold. Amen. And he goes on to say she's more precious than rubies. And the word precious there is the word yakar, and it means valuable. You know, Brown Drivers Briggs defines it as valuable, prized, weighty, precious, rare, and splendid. You know, and when you start thinking in terms of, you know, how precious wisdom is, when you find wisdom, you want to grab onto it, put it to work in your life so that it's natural to you that you walk in this wisdom all the time. And as you do that, it begins to change and bring profit and proceed and production, you know, to your life around you. Brings value. Okay. And you, because you now have this wisdom that's developed inside of you, you now become more precious. You become, you know, your profit, you become more profitable. You as a gain, you're more, there's more to you as a gain than some things, other things. Amen. And so, I mean, this is how God wants, you know, what he wants for us, that if we give ourselves to wisdom, the promise goes beyond just us, you know, staying out of sin, just us not dying young or whatever. I mean, that's all part of it. You'll see. But it goes beyond just the spiritual. Because you got to remember, God created man from the dust of the earth. We're of this earth. And we can't separate our connection to this earth any more than we can separate our connection to God. Whether a person's born again or not, they're connected to God. They may not be able to know God on their own. They may not be able to attain to God unless they go through Jesus. But I'm telling you straight up, man, you know, God owns us. He created us. He's our creator. We're his creation. And so we need to recognize that what he does in us isn't just about us spiritually, it's also about us naturally, how we impact the world around us. And the more we walk in wisdom, the more the world around us will respond to us. And then that wisdom begins to come back to us. And we're going to see this. I'm going to draw this out a little bit later, a little bit more, so that you can really see this. But it goes on to say in verse 15, Proverbs 3:15, it says, she is more precious than rubies, and all the things that you may desire cannot compare with her. And the word desire there is, it comes from the word kephets, which means pleasure. And then so abstractly, it means desire. So all the things you may desire, especially desire as a form of what's pleasurable, all the things that you may desire, you know, especially that which is pleasurable, cannot compare with her. You know, cannot compare. The word compare there is the word shavah, and it means to properly to level, to equalize, to resemble. In other words, to agree with or be or become like. That's what Brown Driver's Brig says, to become like, to resemble her. You know, the wisdom doesn't compare to anything that you could desire. Whatever you might desire on this earth, wisdom doesn't even compare to that. It goes way beyond that. And that's why when God came to Solomon, and you know, in the night, and he came to Solomon, he said, what do you want? Whatever you ask for, I'll give you. And what do you want? And Solomon said, he said, I just want the wisdom to come in and go out and be among your people, to be, you know, to be able to lead them, is what he was getting at. And God said, and God spoke to him, and he said, because you chose wisdom above riches, you chose wisdom above the life of your enemies, you chose wisdom above all these things that could be desired. He said, I'm going to give you wisdom, and then I'm going to give you all of that on top of it. And see, that's the power of wisdom. See, when you choose wisdom, it opens up everything else to you. You know, it opens up everything else to you. Amen. I'm going to talk about this more later on when I get down further here in chapter 3, because I think it's in chapter 3. I'm pretty sure it's here in chapter 3. But as I get down further into it, because wisdom, it talks about wisdom was there when God created, you know, everything. And I want to get in there and talk about that a little bit. I don't have a lot to really say maybe, but I want to get in there and talk about how what wisdom does to us when we give ourselves to wisdom and we start walking in harmony and in unity with wisdom. Because wisdom exists outside of us. And that's the whole point of what Proverbs is trying to say. You know, that wisdom exists. All you got to do is go after wisdom. You know, wisdom is crying in the marketplaces, you know, to listen to her, you know, and it's up to us to respond. So wisdom exists. God's given this, the spirit of wisdom is there. You know, and if we yield to it and open our hearts up to it, God will show us all the things that wisdom is capable of doing in our lives. And we know that wisdom was there when God created everything, and it gets very specific in the part that it played, all right? And we'll talk about that more when I get there, but you need to really understand that and get a hold of it, amen? But nothing can compare to that. Nothing can compare with wisdom. And once we, you know, nothing that we desire can compare with her, especially as a some form of pleasure, you know, because all the things that are pleasurable, they pass away. Wisdom doesn't. Wisdom brings a form of happiness that you can't get any other way. You need to understand that. Pleasure doesn't always bring happiness. Sometimes if it's fleshly pleasure, it could bring sadness. It could bring destruction. You know, because if it's outside of what's right and acceptable before God, then it's sin. And if it's sin, sin brings destruction. So nothing that we desire can compare with wisdom. Wisdom will bring the happiness that we're looking for. You know, so many people are frustrated because they don't think they're happy. They don't have happiness as they see around them in the world. There's not a lot of happiness in the world. There's a lot of faking happiness out there. Dude, I've been to my share of parties where I sat there and watched people, you know, and they weren't happy. You know, I had plenty of opportunities to sit there and talk to people, and they would basically almost bawl in their beer, man, because they weren't happy. I mean, I think that's one reason why country western is so popular. Don't get mad at me, Gil and Rhonda, but that's why it's so so popular because, you know, in country western, you know, the your woman leaves you, your dog leaves you, you lose your truck, you know, and everything. And they sit there and they weep because of all of this stuff. And that's where they have that opportunity as men and women. They sit there and they get into that. I know, I grew up with it, man. I grew up with my mom playing songs. I'd go to sleep at night hearing, you know, songs from these famous country singers, man, that, oh my God, man, I wanted to pull a butter knife out and slit my wrists with it. I mean, that's just how, that's how depressing the music was. And so when you know the truth of things, there's not that much true joy outside of Jesus, outside of the Father, outside of the Holy Spirit. You're not going to find a lot of joy and a lot of happiness. And yet wisdom promises you happiness. Happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. God guarantees your happiness when you walk in wisdom. Amen. Now, so first and foremost, you know, you'll be happy. Next, I'm adding verse 13 just so you guys know in some of these scriptures. Verse 13 says, happy is a man who finds wisdom and who gains understanding. I want you to know that in all of this, with the next verses that I'm going to cover, they're all based on that man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. So you'll see here in Proverbs 3:13, happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. Then I jump to verse 16, and it says, length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand, riches and honor. Length of days is in her right hand. Look at, man, I'm telling you, what kind of deal is this, people? I mean, this is what God's promising to us. And see, the problem is that you got the body of Christ preaching that, you know, God's going to judge you, that, you know, that there's no guarantee that you can live very long. And of course, the word says that, you know, tomorrow's not guaranteed to us just because we're in Christ. But wisdom guarantees length of days. Wisdom guarantees riches and honor. Are you listening to me now? I mean, happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. Length of days is in her right hand. And the word length right there is the word orek in the Hebrew. And Brown Drivers Briggs defines it as length, physical length, and especially of time. But it also carries the concept of forbearance and self-restraint or of patience. In other words, when you know you have length of days, it makes you able to endure when things take time. You know, you show some patience, which that patience, one of the ways patience is demonstrated is in self-restraint. You know, it's like, that's macrothumia when you think about it. Forbearance, you know, showing patience in the face of antagonism. You're showing self-restraint because you know length of days is in your right hand when you're walking in wisdom. Length of days. You know, that's yours. And so it refers to actually physical length of time specifically. Length of time or physical length of time. Specifically, that belongs to you. And this is from the Strong's Concordance. And so then it adds into that forbearance and self-restraint or of patience, which is a consequence of knowing that length of days is in our right hand. Not our right hand, but in wisdom's right hand. And if we're walking in wisdom, then we're going to walk in that length of days. Amen. And the word for days there, and I pretty much put this in here just because I want to talk about days. Length of days carries this meaning. Brown Drivers Briggs defines it as day, time, year, day, as opposed to night. And then day, 24-hour period, or days. And then one of the final things that it brings up is a lifetime. So when it's talking about length of days, it's talking about an extended lifetime. Your lifetime is in her right hand. In other words, you can shorten your life or you can extend your life if you're walking in wisdom. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You know, before I started changing the way I was eating and before I started, I've done some things, you know, in my life to actually, that are some wisdom things that I found out about, and they're working for me. And as I'm doing them, I really believe, I mean, before I started losing weight, I was back up really way up there in my weight. And I was going through the process of being there, not process, but when I was there, I could really feel the wearing on my body, in the sense that this is, man, this is, if I don't change something, you know, I'm not going to be here for very long. I mean, I just had to look at it and call it what it was, man. It's like, I'm killing myself if I'm not, if, you know, if I think, you know, if I think I'm getting, I'm, you know, I'm not getting away with anything doing this. And so I started making the changes, and all of a sudden I started losing weight. And it wasn't just about losing weight. It was on top of that, changing what I was putting into my body. And as I changed what I was putting into my body, you know, I started getting better. And as I started doing some things like taking certain kinds of supplements, and I did a couple of different programs that as I did them, I really am convinced that they helped me. You know, I'm feeling better. I mean, when I was going through high blood pressure and everything else. I mean, it was rarely would it get down below 130 over 80 something. And now it's in the 120s over 70s. And it's because I made these changes. And as I made the changes and I started supplementing what I needed to, and I started doing it in a correct way, you know, because there's the right way to do it and there's wrong ways to do it, but I started doing it in the right way. And as I started doing that, man, all of a sudden I can go to bed at night without hearing pounding in my ears. And I can, you know, I test my blood pressure and it's normal. And so, I mean, when you start walking in that wisdom, I'm not wearing on my heart like I was. And God, you know, of course I'm believing God for my healing, because, you know, and you should all be doing the same thing. You know, I've been led to tell you guys this. I'm going to tell you right now, and since you guys are here, you get the benefit of hearing this. But I would get me a scripture pack together. All of you have cell phones. Get on Google Play or on whatever, on iPhone or whatever they do. Because I don't know, I don't have an iPhone. But get on there at their store and download a Bible app. Any Bible app. I don't care what you get. Just get a Bible app. It could be King James Version. It could be a New King James Version. Go in there and start all the scriptures that God's been showing you as blessings and as promises to you. Create a list, like a playlist of scriptures in there, because you can do that in any one of them. You can collect a group of scriptures and name it whatever you want in them. Because I've looked at all of these apps that they have, these Bible apps, and they all do basically the same thing. And so collect yourself a group of scriptures for healing. Collect yourself a group of scriptures, you know, and they can be in different folders if you want. Collect yourself a group of scriptures on, you know, God's exhortations to you, things that the word has spoken to you that you need to continue to keep before your eyes until you get the understanding you need in order to put that work to work in your life. Start collecting these and go over them. I mean, you don't have to go through there and just grab everything, but ones that really speak to you, put them in your phone and start going over them on a daily basis, especially healing scriptures. Get yourself at least 10 good healing scriptures. I don't think I have more than 10 healing scriptures on my phone, but I have other promises on there that I have about 30 of them now that I go through on a daily basis. And, you know, just, you don't have to have that much. It doesn't take that long to go through. But when you do it, you put it in your eyes. You keep it before your eyes. When you do it on a daily basis, you remind yourself on a daily basis of what God's done for you. So your faith is constantly ready to latch on to those things. And then use promises, you know, wherever you get a promise, where God gives you a promise and it really ministers to you. Put that on your phone, man. Put that in the list on your phone and review that. And as you do that, you're going to keep feeding yourself these things that are going to keep you alive and healthy, people. So I didn't drop my faith. I use my faith more now than ever. I live by faith. Everything is done that way. Amen. And so if you'll do that, I guarantee you, you're going to see some things, some changes. You're going to see some benefits from doing this. Amen. Now, so length of days is in her right hand. And I put right hand and left hand in here just because I want, there is a slight difference in the way in the Hebrew, the right hand, the left hand teaches, you know. In the right hand, that's actually one word. Yamin is one word. The right hand or side of a person. And it refers to the right hand as being as the stronger and more dexterous. And think about that. Length of days is your strength. And see, the more you understand and you recognize that as you walk in wisdom, that you're going to live a long time. I mean, in my personal family, I don't think anybody lived over 63, 64 years old. I don't know of anybody that lived to be 70 years old. And I'm on my way to 70 now. And I have no doubts that I'm going to live until, you know, way past that, way past my 80s. So I'm telling you right now, man, you know, when you start walking in that wisdom, length of days is in your right hand. It's in your, the power of your hand. It's in your, more in your control than ever before. And that's the thing that you want to lean on. Amen. Don't lean on riches and honor. Lean on that length of days, because that keeps you, that gives you the confidence of going and continuing to push forward in your life, knowing that you're not done yet, knowing that you're going to last. You don't have to quit early because you're afraid you're going to lose it. I'm almost 70, man. And I'm telling you right now, I got people at work telling me I can't leave. And so, you know, God told me, he said, write it out until it gets old or until they get rid of you. And I said, we'll see, you know. I don't know that I want to keep working past 70, but we'll see. Amen. And honestly, I told everybody, I've told my work this. I told my wife and my son this. You know, I'm going to go until I get tired of doing it anymore. And so I haven't hit that spot yet. As a matter of fact, now I've got more energy than I've had in 15 years. And so, I mean, it's just maybe even 20. You know, I don't deal with the pain like I used to when I was in my 40s. Man, I struggled with stuff. And it was a lack of knowledge that caused me to struggle. That's why you need wisdom. You know, if I'd have known the things I know now back when I was in my mid-40s, dude, my life, I would have made so many changes. Well, maybe not. You know, I don't know, because you can't go back and say what you would have done. You know, I lacked knowledge back then. Now I do have that knowledge. I've made the changes. Amen. Now you need knowledge. You know, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. And so we do need the knowledge. So part of you growing and developing is getting a hold of knowledge. Amen. Boy, I'm all over the place, but I'm fine with that. So the right hand is referring to the right side of the person, the right hand, but it's as the stronger and more dexterous. Amen. You typically, if you're a right-handed person, you're stronger in your right hand and you're more dexterous. It's funny for me, I'm more dexterous in my right hand, but I'm a little stronger in my left. But my right hand is the one that's, you know, because I'm right-handed, that's the one I lean on. Amen. If you're left-handed, then apply, you know, this to your left hand. Length of days is in your left hand rather than in your right hand. But riches and honor are in your left hand. And the word for left hand there is the word semol, which means from simla. It comes from the word simla in the Hebrew, and it means through the idea of wrapping up, you know. Properly means dark as enveloped. In other words, it's your grasp, your ability to hold. And that plays, to me, that plays right, because my left hand is my strength. You know, in the sense of, it's, you know, even though it says the right hand is stronger, your right hand is more, has more endurance. Your left hand has more strength in some ways. Mine does anyway. But, you know, through the idea of wrapping up, properly means dark as an enveloped or enveloped. And by orientation, the left hand. So you got right hand, you got left hand. Right hand, left hand, okay? I'm doing this stage right, stage left for you guys, all right? Now, riches and honor. Riches, osher, which is wealth. Brown Drivers Briggs defines it as wealth and riches. Wealth and riches are in the left hand of the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. The ability, the capability of intelligence and faculty of understanding. And so you get riches and then you get honor. And the word for honor is the word kabod. Now kabod sometimes means glory. And that's brought out here in Brown Drivers Briggs. But properly, the word actually means weight. You know, when somebody walks in glory, they're walking in weightiness. God, you know, remember when God appeared, his similitude kind of appeared on a side of Mount Sinai so he could address, you know, the 70 elders that Moses picked out. And it says that when they looked at his feet, he was like a fire, and his feet were like a furnace. And when you look underneath his feet, the ground became like not asphalt. It became like this stone. I forget what the stone was. It's But it's like the second strongest stone behind diamond. And God's very presence was so weighty that the force of God compressed the ground below him, underneath him, into this pavement, this strong, not concrete, but it was something even stronger. And they saw that. They pointed it out. That's how weighty God is. That's how much glory he walks in. And I'm going to tell you, I've been in the presence of God before. I mean, I've been in the presence of God. And I'm going to tell you right now, it flattens you, man. It knocks you down. I mean, you get down, you get knocked down, you can't get up. And you know, you have to learn to be able to stand in his presence. And that's what Jesus wants when we get to heaven. He wants us to stand in his presence, to be ready to stand in his presence. That'll bring him honor. It'll show our strength as well. But only figuratively, in a good sense, it means weightiness. It means splendor or copiousness. Brown Driver Briggs defines it as glory, honor, glorious, abundance, honor, reputation. So God wants you to be people with a long life that walk in wealth and riches. You have your wealth. I mean, you don't have to be stinking rich. You know, you don't have to be a billionaire to be rich. You know, you can be rich with more than you need. Because anytime you have more than you need, you're already considered rich. Look at the way most of the world lives. They live at a below poverty level. And we're above that here in this country. And for us, it's hard because it's so expensive to live in this country. But when you have and you can live and you're not under the burden and oppression of finances and of debt and everything else, you're wealthy. And you need to know that. Amen. And God wants you to have those riches. He wants you to have that honor. I was out in the garage the other day and I started to complain a little bit with God. I said, Lord, I got all this stuff. What am I going to do with this? I go, and it's good stuff. It's not stuff I can just throw out. I mean, I would be wasting. It would be wasteful to throw out. And God told me, he goes, didn't I say I'd fill your barns with plenty? You know, and then it hit me, man. My garage is filled with plenty. And we actually have a storehouse, too, that's filled with plenty. God is it's a blessing, people. And if you've got that, don't complain about it. Thank God for it. And if God leads you and you find somebody has a need and you got what they need, then give to them. Amen. Be quick to share. Be quick to pass along what you don't need anymore, especially if it's new, you know, and well used, not well used. It's in good condition. Amen. The ways of wisdom. Okay, so it's length of days with riches and honor. You know, that's what walking in wisdom does. When you find wisdom and you gain that understanding, you're gonna have length of days in your right hand and in your left hand riches and honor. That's the promise of wisdom, people. Whether you believe it or not, that's up to you. Is it worth it to you? How much is it worth it to you to go after wisdom? And some of you are sitting there thinking, well, you know, I'm already too old. It doesn't really matter anymore. I've already got what I want. But wisdom brings happiness. It brings long life. You know, don't be foolish and throw away the long life part of it. Amen. Even if you think you're okay financially and everything else. Next, the ways of wisdom are pleasantness and her paths are peace. This is where it gets really good, guys. These are things that we're not always able to measure, but we always experience. You know, if we're not walking in the ways of pleasantness or in peace, we're suffering. And happiness promises. Happy is the man, verse 13 again, happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. Her ways are the ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Her ways, the word ways there is the word derek in the Hebrew. Hold on a second. It says, okay, the word for ways there is the word derek, and it means a road is trodden, a course of life, or a mode of action. So her ways are ways, the road is trodden, her courses of life, her modes of actions are modes of actions of pleasantness. In other words, the way you're to live, the way you're to walk, the course of your life is always going to be pleasant to you. Pleasant. Doesn't mean it won't be hard. It doesn't mean you won't face your trials. It doesn't mean you won't face, you know, hard times. All right. It doesn't mean that you won't face these things, all right? But it'll be pleasant. Your ways will be pleasant. Walking in the way that you're called to walk in will be pleasant to you. Amen? And the word pleasantness there is the word na'am, which means agreeableness. That is delight, suitableness, splendor, or grace. It'll be splendid to you. It'll be suitable to you. Brown Drivers Briggs defines that word na'am as kindness, pleasantness, delightfulness, beauty, and favor. I mean, that's a pretty awesome thing. The ways of wisdom, the course of life of wisdom, the modes of action of wisdom, the road that you're walking of wisdom will always be agreeable. It'll be pleasant. It'll be delightful. All right? It'll be suitable to you. You'll take great delight in it. Amen? That's an awesome thing, people. This is what God is wanting for us. If we will walk in the way of wisdom, if we will gain the understanding, the ability to understand, that faculty of understanding, if we gain more intelligence, our ways will be pleasant. Our ways will be peace. Our paths will be peace. Now, the word for paths there, and her paths, I hope I'm pronouncing paths right. That's weird. And all her paths are peace. And the word for paths there is the word nathib, which means a beaten track, trodden with the feet. Path or pathway. You know what that gets into? What that gets into is everything you do on a daily basis that you do over and over again. It's just repetitious. And you know, it's funny, you know, my wife and I joke around, and it feels like sometimes I feel like I'm a hamster in a wheel, because I get up in the morning, I go to work, and I work all in the same spot. I come in here and this is my office for work. I don't go into the work because I'm a remote. I'm fully remote now. And if they want us to come in, they'll ask, and we can go in, you know, which is just down the street for me. But, you know, so it's, you know, I get up, I go to work, I work my 8-hour day, I get off, I eat dinner, I may do a few things around the house for a minute, and then I come in here and I get prepared for Bible study, and then I get prepared for church. So that's my beaten paths. And of course, you know, we break it up and we do things, you know, we hang out Friday nights. I mean, Eva and I will do some classes on the weekend when we can. We do other things that we love doing, you know, and we both of us, I mean, we both share. It's a lot of fun for us to do. And we go do these things together and we have a good time. At least I do. My wife walks away with a smile on her face. So I have to believe that she's enjoying herself. And she tells me that she really loves what we do. And so, I mean, that's, you know, even though my beaten path, my, if you want to call it my hamster wheel, is pretty set on what I have to do. It's awesome, because even though it's pretty set, in the process of that, it's pleasant and it's filled with peace. It's peace. Now think about this. All her ways, the course of life that I'm called to do, it's going to be pleasant. It's going to be agreeable to me. And the fact that I get in the Word, and the fact that I have to prepare for Bible study and for church and so on, you know, that's pleasant to me. It's agreeable to me. I like it. I like what I'm doing. I enjoy what I'm doing. Amen. It's a joy to me. It's a blessing to me. Amen. And so I don't ever talk down on it. It's just that, you know, sometimes it can feel like that. You know, it can feel like you're in a hamster cage. And if I start catching myself thinking like that, then I think, well, you know, God gives me an opportunity to go do things. You know, it's not like I'm just a robot. And so, you know, we make sure that we're out doing stuff. We go for a ride. You know, we go out to eat. We do whatever we need to do to break up the, you know, that consistency thing. You know, where it's the same thing over and over and over again. But when I'm doing those things, I'm still enjoying it. Even my job, I enjoy what I do. And I have fun with the people that I work with. You know, I mean, they make me laugh. I make them laugh. We all got to work and we do our jobs. But we do it and we make the best of it, in the sense of it's a blessing for everybody. We try to make it something that's good for everybody. And there's a lot of people that are Christians that I work with, but there's a lot that aren't Christians, and they do their best to do the same thing. All right? Amen? And then, of course, all her paths, that beaten, that trodden with the feet, that thing that's, you know, that you do over and over and over again, wisdom will cause that to become peace to you. Now, we are kind of trained because I teach a lot out of the New Testament. And I sometimes I forget to remind you guys that the word for peace in the New Testament, which is the word Irene, is actually, when it's used in the New Testament, it's used in the context of Old Testament word for peace, which is the word shalom. Okay? They're always including the whole concept of shalom when they use the word Irene for peace. Because in the Greek culture, in the Greek language, the word Irene carries a specific, more of a specific meaning of national peace, where they're not at war. And then from that, they derive the whole thing of peace between people and peace, you know, in your home or whatever. That and the whole concept of their peace is that they're not fighting and killing each other. You know, that's their basic concept of peace, all right? But here, shalom carries a much greater meaning than just that. Peace, shalom, carries, first of all, the meaning of safe. Figuratively being well, happy, and friendly. And then it also carries this abstract meaning of welfare, which is health, prosperity, and peace. So it carries two concepts to that word, two different sides of the same coin, if you want to say it like that. One side is that you're safe, you're well, you're happy, and you're friendly with people. On the other side of that is welfare, which is health, prosperity, and peace. Shalom distinctly implies healthiness. It just, you know, and if you guys remember Danny Robicek, when he would sometimes he would teach, and we, him and I used to talk all the time about, you know, the concepts, the Hebrew concepts of words. Shalom for him always carried the significant meaning of well-being. That's how he saw the word safe, was that when a person, not word safe, but the word shalom, when he heard the word shalom, he heard that sense of well-being, the total encompassment of what that peace means in your life, that you're blessed, that God's taking care of you, you're healthy, you're prosperous, you know, you're well off, you're happy. And then Brown Drivers Briggs does the same thing in its definition. He defines it as completeness, soundness, welfare, peace, safety, soundness in body, welfare, health, prosperity, peace, quiet, tranquility, and contentment. And see, for the whole thing of shalom, the key, I think the ultimate expression of shalom in your life is when you sit down and you get quiet with yourself and you realize that you're content with where your life is at. And you're not forcing that contentment on yourself. Like, you know, we have to be content sometimes before we can move forward in our lives. We've got to be content where we're at, where we're not being driven, you know, by whatever forces that are not God, that are trying to push us into doing things or making decisions that are not right for us. And, you know, and sometimes we get in a position where we're forced to be content. That's not what I'm talking about. That's not what God's talking about. When he talks about contentment, he's talking about being able to be quiet in yourself for a moment and then look at your life and realize you're content. You're content. You know, and you really are capable of seeing that there's not much more that I could want or desire that would make me better off. I'm not driven by having the next $3,000 phone or, you know, shoes that cost me $4,000 or $5,000 or having a car that's $150,000. You know, you got to understand that when you're content, you find your place of peace. And you settle in. And that's what shalom is about. It's that sense of completeness and soundness, that tranquility, that sense of, you know where you're at. You're quiet. Everything's kind of at this even keel. And that's what God promises us. And if I'm going to tell you something, I mean, guys, you could be already rich. All right, you could be already rich, but you could be lacking in pleasantness and peace. You could be lacking in honor. You could be lacking in length of days. I mean, that's up to you. God's put that in our hands. The power of life and death is in the tongue, and he who loves it will eat the fruit of it. Which means it's really in our hand, what we're going to choose, how we're going to choose. You know, and I'm not going to get specific about, you know, how we talk, But there's a definite level of wisdom in how we ought to talk. And we'll get into that much later when we run into it later on in Proverbs. I don't want to jump on that now. So, you know, wisdom is pleasantness for us in all our ways. And it's peace in all of our well-trodden paths. Get up, go to work every day. There's a peace, that contentment that's following you as you go. You know, well, what if I hate my job? Well, that's your problem. That's a problem you have. You hate your job. So either you got to do an attitude adjustment and change your attitude towards your job, or maybe you need to start looking for another job. Well, I can't find another job. Well, why can't you find another job? Do you need to grow in some skills? Do you need to grow in some knowledge? Maybe that's why you don't like your job, is because, you know, you're stuck at the bottom because you're not growing. I don't know. But I've never passed up opportunities to grow and to develop and to take on new things and to learn from it and develop new skill sets. And some of the skill sets I've developed have nothing to do with my work. Some of them have nothing to do with me being a minister or pastor, you know, being a teacher. Some of my skill sets are outside of that. And I'm developing them because I feel the desire, the need to have those skill sets in me. I want to have them. Amen. And there's nothing wrong with that. And they're not infringing on anything else I'm doing, but they're adding to me. And we all should be looking at our lives like that. Amen. Now, I'm going to go ahead and stop here tonight. We're already almost at an hour, so I don't want to jump into this and run way over. We'll pick up on this next week. Amen.